Hey, Frank.
Hey, Heidi. How we doing? Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
There's no way you're 80. No way.
I appreciate that so much because I have a flight at 11 o'clock.
Oh.
I'm going to Dallas.
Nice.
I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows the personnel director. 4 o'clock on the field trying out for the field goal
nice.
Kicker.
Good.
See?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, 57 and 58, I was all American in New York City. Oh. As a kicker and running back.
Wow.
Is that right?
Yeah. But I found out I couldn't go to the left, so my talent was in bowling.
Okay.
And I became an all-city bowler.
Nice.
See, holy crap.
Kicker,
yeah.
Yep.
But would you guess him as 80?
No, I didn't think that the other night either.
Well, I know him, and yes, he should be 90. It took him 4 weeks to walk down the hall with Phil, but Phil probably got lost.
We know Phil wasn't a problem.
All right. Frank, who is now a touring comedian with Pat Oates and hosts Thursday night at Mohegan Sun Comics at Roadhouse. What is it?
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, Mohegan Sun.
Mohegan Sun. So tell me about the story, how you brought Super Bowl 17 to a screeching halt.
Well, in the 70s and 80s, I was hooked up with Alan Abel, who was a known prankster at the time on the national level. And I met him at a party, and he said, you would be good doing certain things with me. I had no idea what he meant. And the next night, I was on the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder. And we were doing
That was after Carson.
After Carson, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we were doing that. Then all of a sudden, I started doing all these crazy stunts with them.
Wait, you're at a party, and what were you doing at the party?
It was just a cocktail party in Westport, and he was there, and I started talking to him. I knew who he was.
And he recruits you as a prankster.
And he recruited me for the next night to meet him at 30 Rock. And go in there.
And was he making money being a prankster?
No, that was the key.
we never figured that out. It's like podcast. S&G. It's like a bet with somebody.
It's like having a podcast.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Thanks.
If you make money doing a prank, you're breaking the law.
Okay.
So the key was never to make money from it. I mean, for 10 years, we did Omar the Beggar. He taught people how to beg professionally. And we would have this 7-week course, and we would place them any place in the United States.
Is there any video of this online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Is the Super Bowl 17 thing online?
No. See, the NFL is pretty strict on what they put online.
Uh-huh. Did you make it on TV?
No, we made it to the radio.
Okay.
But that got us to all the interviews the following day. And the reason why we did it was because Alan came out with a new book, Don't Get Mad, Get Even.
Nice.
And Random House, who published it, gave him $10,000 to publicize it. So we went to California. We bought tickets to the Super Bowl. I was dressed as a referee, and we had somebody dressed as a I was dressed as the cop.
We had somebody
dressed as a referee.
Okay.
We had raincoats.
Wow, that's ballsy. Wow. You're dressed as a cop?
Well, yeah, but this...
Oh, nowadays,
you're in prison
as a terrorist.
An L.A. cop, yeah.
This is 1983.
Right,
yeah. You could do things.
Fun times.
It was 85 degrees out.
Oh, no.
We had raincoats on. We had shopping bags without the rest of the outfit. We walk in. Security never said anything.
Yeah, that wasn't a red flag?
Is that incredible?
No. No,
there's two heroin users over here.
Yeah. We sat there, and they had a lawyer set up in the mezzanine, and he had a portable TV, so he was watching it. They had the radio going on. And at halftime, myself and the referee, we walked down to the field, and we took off our raincoats, put on our hats, and there's security. And they look at me, and they say, can we help you? I go, yeah. This is the alternate referee. He was mugged leaving his hotel this morning. He just got out of the hospital. He's got to get on the field. They opened the gate.
Wow.
That worked.
They opened the gate, and there we were the field. And so it was Miami and Washington. When Washington was going to kick the first time, I sent the referee out. He blew his whistle. Everybody froze. Nobody did anything. He tore off his shirt, and it said, Don't Get Mad, Get Even, the name of the book.
The name of the book. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. But nobody did anything. So what did I do? I ran on the field.
So they all look at him?
They all look at him.
Right. So you
and they're like stunned, like, what do we do now?
Him, right?
Excuse me?
You went out to arrest him?
I went out to, to
That's
arrest
clever.
Him.
That's
so
clever.
What he did, we did a Keystone Cops. He started running around the players, and I ran after him. He was an athlete. I was 275 pounds.
Wow. So you look like modern security today.
You had to slow down to make it look like a chase.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, and he finally slowed down. I tackled him, and I drag him off, and there's cops there. They grab him. He disappeared. I never saw him again.
Yeah.
And me, they said, who are you? I said, private security. They said, do you have a identification? The only thing I had on me was my ID to a racquetball court. I showed him that. I said, okay, you could go. If it was today, they would say, thank you for your service. But they sent me off. I go back into the stands, find out we did not get on TV.
Oh.
I was pissed. I ran back on the field. And if you look at the highlights, you'll see me by the Miami Dolphin cheerleaders in the second half. I waited until the game was out of reach.
So right? You're still thought of
oh,
as
I got to get back on there. I got to make money.
Yeah, no, yeah. The clock's still ticking.
So Riggins scores the last touchdown to put it out with 2.5 minutes to go. I run on the field while they're kicking the extra point. So I'm passing all these.
You're a committed prankster.
I'm committed.
He wants to get paid.
That's right. We were getting a bonus if we got on television.
Right.
Oh, how much was the bonus?
It was a couple of $1,000s.
Oh, see, I see your motivation now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to consider the tickets were $35.
It's funny. The cops all know him now.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Frank. Yeah. Hey, Frank. Let him go. It's okay.
He's one of us.
He shows the ID for racquetball.
So I go past the linemen that are, and they're looking at me, and they're the referee with his hands up, signaling that the extra point is good. And he says something to me, which I can't say on the radio.
Okay. Right.
So I said, well, I'm stopping the Super Bowl because you took 6 games out of the regular season with the strike. And he said, blah, 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 picked up his hat, put it down, and 7 plainclothesmen came out.
Oh, that was the signal?
That was the signal. Oops. They picked me up. And they're dragging me off, and 107,000 people are boo. Now, I felt good because I thought that they were booing the security, not me.
Why are they booing me?
They're not booing me. Nah, they're not going to boo me.
I love you.
So I get off, and I got arrested.
You didn't show me ID?
So they didn't believe it the second time.
Damn
I don't know
it.
Why. So what happens, I go to Pasadena jail. They give mugshot, fingerprints, and everything like that. And they put me in a cell with this big, large man.
Uh-oh.
And he looks at me, and he says, I hate coppers. I said, excuse me?
So do I.
I showed him my racquetball pass.
Right. Oh, you play that too?
I'm a fake cop. I was just arrested by cops.
And then he used me as a racquetball.
So I had to explain to him what I was doing.
Right.
Then he changed his mind about beating the shit out of me.
Beating the crap out of me.
You did so well,
crap,
Frank.
Crap. Beating the crap out of me.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I hit the dump button.
Right.
So then what happens, about 4 hours later, they finally got me out, and the cop says to me, when are you leaving Pasadena? I said, the first thing tomorrow morning. He says, we never want to see you back in Pasadena again.
Oh, right.
I said, okay. The next morning, we had some interviews with the media, and I think it was the Los Angeles Times. I'm meeting with them, and we're in the hotel. And there was this loud group. It's now lunchtime. There's this loud group in the back. And they're drunk. There's about 20 people, men and women, all drunk and cursing.
Okay.
And I told the Los Angeles Times, watch this. I go over because I'm dressed as a cop. They want
still.
Because I had to put the policeman's uniform on for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's 12 o'clock. I'm back in the policeman's uniform. I go to the table and I tell them, if you don't keep it down and stop the cursing, I'm going to have to do something. And a guy got up that looked vaguely familiar.
It's smart to say I have to do something because you're not saying I have to arrest you.
Right.
Right.
That would be impersonating.
You leave them
right.
All
very
right.
Smart.
That's
right.
Cool. Yeah.
And the guy looked familiar. Then I realized who he was. It was the cop that told me never come back to Pasadena again.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It was a retirement party for somebody.
Oops.
And he says, come over here. So I go over there. And
I'm sorry.
I can't say the first 12 words he told me.
Okay.
Because I learned that we shouldn't say certain words on the radio.
That like the one you said in the last break.
But I remember, get out of town ASAP. So I said, yes, sir.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to leave.
Yeah. So I walked back to the media, and I told them, listen, they have every right to say what they're saying. And as a citizen of Connecticut, I have no right to interfere with their goal. So I said, okay, I think we should leave.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then tell me about this chic thing that you did.
Prince Amir Asad was a wonderful character. I played for him over many years doing different things. He was instrumental in getting Idi Amin out of Uganda into the United States.
Get out.
Yeah. He was instrumental.
A character that you created.
Right. This is a character we created, and that unfortunately the State Department got involved. When they got wind of it. What happened was everybody was looking for Idi Amin. He was the Hitler of the 80s and the 70s.
Yeah, he was a psycho.
He was the best.
I remember hearing
crazy.
His name.
He was the Hitler of the 80s.
He used to eat people.
Yeah. I mean, he was crazy.
Really?
So
yeah.
We found somebody that looked like them. And so what we did, we created this. Everybody's looking for him. So we said, well, we'll find them. So we sent out a cable from London to all the media in the United States.
And are you doing this stunt now to promote something, or you're just doing the stunt to do
all right,
the stunt?
Here's the backstory on that. HBO wanted to do a series on pranks. And so they funded the money to do it, to do this.
Gotcha.
Awesome. Now, the problem, Alan was very independent. He did not like to have any interference.
That's the prankster.
That's the main.
There's
man.
A great
main,
documentary right. on him.
The boss.
Put out
yeah, right.
on
the boss.
Go online, check out Abel Raises Cain. It's a great documentary. I'm in it. It's all about the stuff that he did over a 50-year period. So anyway, so we send this cable, and 200 members of the press responded. And I was Prince Amir Asad. For the first time, I created this character. 2 o'clock in the morning, we checked into the Plaza Hotel, the presidential suite.
Because that's what a sheik would do.
That's right. Yes. I had a burnous on. I had a business suit on. I grew the beard for that, which
nice.
I had never shaved.
Yeah.
And we check in. 2 o'clock in the morning, there's a knock on the door. It's the night manager that he heard that Idi Amin's coming to his hotel the following day.
Okay.
And he wanted to confirm that. And so I have him come in. And this is the first time I tried this. I had this big red ruby ring on. When he extended his hand to shake my hand, I flipped him the red ruby ring right in his face. If he kissed it, I had him.
Oh. Oh.
He kissed it.
He kissed it all right.
I knew I had him then. He sits down, and he asks me, what's going on? So I explained to him what's going on, and he said, I said, don't worry, I'll have security up here, armed security. He said, you can't have that. This is my hotel. I'll supply the armed security, which he did.
Great.
Which was wonderful. So before the press conference, there's the 200 members of the press, there's all these bodyguards in the back with... You could see the bulges in their breast pocket of their weapons.
Yeah,
this was amazing.
Back then, they carried Uzis.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. That was the gun of choice for security.
We couldn't have planned it any better, except for one thing. The press conference was at 12:30. One of my people come in and tell me that Sergeant John Schaefer from the State Department is here to see you.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah.
I said, which State Department? Unfortunately, it was ours.
Okay. So, we got a check.
So he comes in, and he's got a business suit on, and he's just following up that somebody sent this stupid thing out, blah, blah, blah. And I give him the hand. He kissed the ring.
Nice.
Wow.
I said, I got it before I said anything.
Cool.
So,
did you clean it between kisses?
It was the 80s.
It was a different time.
Yeah. Totally different.
Right.
So what happens, I sit down, he sits down, and I explain to him that he's coming into the United States. And I look at my watch. I said, he's landing right now at Teterboro Airport. He goes, oh, he can't do that. I go, why? He said, he's got to seek political asylum through us. I said, no, he's not. He's marrying a girl from Long Island.
Way to go, represent.
He said, who? I said, Yetta Bronstein, a nice middle-class Jewish actress.
Yetta Bronstein, nice.
And he said, he can't do that. I said, yes, he can. You can't stop him. He said, yes, we can. I said, you can't stop him. I said, you could go out there, listen to the press conference, and there's nothing you could do. He's not seeking political asylum. He goes out there. He calls Washington on the phone. He's talking to the big shots in Washington. And Idi Amin shows up, and he looked like him. And I had a judge from Connecticut. He was the mayor. He was the assistant mayor in Fairfield. And I had him with the robes on to perform the ceremony.
Wow.
So I go out there, and I'm holding this press conference. Everybody's nervous because they don't know what's going to happen. They see the people with the guns back there.
Yeah. Are you in the back of your mind saying, I may have been off more than I could chew?
No. Never.
You're loving every second.
You have to commit to it.
Yeah.
You commit to it.
All
and you stay in it no matter what happens.
Yeah, that's what crazy people do, Chaz. They commit to it.
Right.
This is all nuts.
So I'm out there, and we're waiting for Edie to show up. And so
fake Edie.
Right. The fake Edie.
Right.
No,
right.
We did not have the real Edie. Okay.
No. Unless.
So what happens is I'm trying to stall with the press. I'm telling them some stories. So somebody asked, where is he going to live? I said, we're not sure. So we got him a brownstone in Harlem and an estate in Sands Point. And they're writing it down. I said, boy, they really believe this stuff. This is great. So all of a sudden I hear screaming in the back. This is all premeditated.
Right.
We knew this was going to happen.
Right. Paul Pine.
A woman is screaming, going, no, no, no. And so I excuse myself. I go back there, come back a few minutes later, and I said, the bride has second thoughts. She just met Edie, and she didn't realize he was so large. And she doesn't know if she wants to marry him. They're renegotiating now. I believe it will be settled. She'll get more money.
At this point, people have to
No. They're still in. The hook is
100%.
In their mouth.
Wow.
100% in
there. Gullible.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and, by the way, the State Department's on the phone to his boss in Washington repeating everything that I said. Okay, so now I come out. I go back and find out everything's smoothed over. They're coming out. I introduce Idi Amin. He comes out with four bodyguards, generals, and everybody's got the uniforms on. It looks great. And out comes the judge. He comes out, and I said,
this is the judge you brought in as an actor to marry them.
To marry Idi Amin and Yetta.
Right.
So Idi Amin and Yetta are taking the vows. The judge is presiding over it, and he's reading from a book. And the State Department is on the phone repeating.
Everyone believes this is really happening.
The State Department is repeating every word,
word
for
word. Who would lie about this? Yeah. You.
That is true.
Yeah.
Who would?
Yeah. Why would you think? Why would you do this so a book can get out?
So I mean, I couldn't believe this. So he repeats it. Everybody, we congratulate them afterwards. And now we had to figure out how do we get out of this? Okay. So
you never had that.
So escape plan.
No exit.
This sounds like a Chaz and AJ thing. We never figure out the end.
How do we finish this?
Then
we can learn.
How do we get out?
We'll learn here.
This is the first time we exposed ourselves at the end.
Okay.
The first time we ever did that, because we always walk away.
Yeah.
Alan came out, and they're looking at him. They know who he is, and they finally realize what's going on.
It was like the guy from...
Candy Camera.
Right. Yeah. So as soon as he came out, everyone was like,
We've been had.
Unmistakable. Yeah. Right? As soon as you see him.
Yeah, this is Dee Dee, I mean.
It's like that or To Catch a Predator. When the guy comes out, you know it's up. You know.
And so Alan just says one thing. Alan says one thing. What is today's date? And everybody goes, April 1st.
Oh, wow.
April Fool's Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
That's awesome. I got chills just
now. That is brilliant.
So if you are going to, bring in an evil dictator, always do it on April 1st.
April Fool's.
And they'll just let it go,
I guess. Say, that was funny.
That was fun. Right.
You got cover. You got cover.
That's the last thing the State Department person was saying back to the people watching.
Right.
April Fool's joke.
Well, I know it's down Kim Jong-un April 1st.
I have to admit, 2 days later, in my I had a food business in Greenwich. 2 days later, the State Department showed up.
Oops.
They wanted to know why I
for
did
real?
It. Yeah. And every time I traveled out of the country for the next 10 years, they would pull me in and say, where am I going? What are you doing? Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, what are you up to? Yeah.
Nothing.
Who's getting married?
Nothing.
Who are you pranking?
Nothing.
Are you going to create an international crisis?
Trust me.
Where's that judge? Bring him back out here. Where is he?
Will we see you in this Abel Raises Cain?
Oh yeah,
documentary.
Oh, yes. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, well, wow, I gotta look that up.
We kind of edited it a little bit because at the time, I was a financial advisor for an international bank. So,
wow.
We did not
want to. Are you telling the truth right now?
True. Somehow, when that movie came out, I was working for them, and I invited everybody. And my boss came up to me after the showing. He said, oh, my God, I would have never hired you if I've seen this. I said, that's why I didn't tell you, because I know you would have never hired me.
They have a website for this, and they have images, no video or anything. But the marriage he was just talking about, you can see him in the background. Were you wearing sunglasses the whole time, Frank?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great picture of you.
That's awesome.
Wow, it's awesome that he didn't go to prison.
Right.
Whatever happened to the real Idi Amin? Did anyone ever find
He lives
him?
In Long Island now. Right.
He's married to an actress. Yeah. Right.
He chose the estate in Sands Point.
He did. It's really nice over there. I have no idea.
Yeah, I remember hearing about him all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
He died in 2003.
Yeah.
I wonder if he caught wind of this.
Right.
Right. Yeah, someone must have called him and said, hey, guess what? You're in the United States.
No,
I am?
Right.
That had to get back to him.
Oh, you definitely did.
You kissed the guy's ring. It's like, what?
Right. For the rest of his life, he was going out and people would come up. Yeah, I met you in the United States. Right. Remember when you were there? I kissed your ring.
How's Yetta?
Frank, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. We got to have you back to
definitely.
Talk about this small penis story. Not yours.
No,
the
no,
story.
No, no.
Yes. The prank that you guys.
Sure, prank.
Frank Mergalo. We'll link up to his. Do you have a website or something?
No. I'm 80 years old. How am I going to have a website?
He's got a Facebook page.
I got a Facebook page, okay. Instagram. You know, you can follow me on there.
Okay, we'll follow you.
Thank you.
Thank you.